Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Keep this frequency clear.
Coming at you. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. This is a Marco and C to the Triple B hour. Unfortunately, minus the C to the Triple B, who's on a special assignment for the next 2 weeks. However, we never let you guys down. Not only do we have the star himself, Marco from Waco, but we also have our boy Proteus on the line. Let's meet our host. Course, if I can ever get this right, guys. Good Lord, we're starting off well. Here we go. Excuse me,
bitch.
Here we go. Fighting out of the blue corner, the star himself, the one who always knocks out Donald Trump, Marco from Waco.
Marco from Waco, those buses lost. That is what's up in German.
Was ist los, right? All right. Now let's meet the Canadian guy himself, the man who still has a job after all that chaos that's going on with WME IMG. The man who only has Dragonflies stickers on his Mazda Miata, Proteus.
Fellas. Wait, that's not right.
What's up?
What's up?
Gentlemen, what is going on? Good Lord. I'll tell you, with all the changes and everything that's going on, you know what? There's a lot of bad press, guys, in the UFC in the last year and a half. I mean, not only the whole Reebok scandal and everyone wanting to get out their contracts, but now people losing their jobs, guys, and that's never a good thing. Marco, I mean, what's going on? Tom Wright's gone, Dave Schaller, John Anik's twin is gone. What the heck's going on out here?
Gary Cook is like big as well for me, but well, you shouldn't be surprised, man. I mean, it's when big corporations buy out other entities, it is expected that there are going to be a lot of layoffs. First of all, it's going to be a little bit of cost cutting because, you know, they had to recoup some money. Second of all, WME is getting rid of a lot of jobs that they can duplicate, you know, especially their PR department of the UFC. Yeah, as good as they are, WME guys are probably better because they are a talent agency, you know, that's what they do. But the very telling thing for me is as all the executives they let go on the regions, you know, like Europe, Gary Cook famously, you know, and then the guys in the Southeast Asia, Canada, Latin America. I think it's going to be a contraction. There is no more war expansion, like taking over the war thing anymore. I think WME is going to concentrate more on the pay-per-view business in the United States. And that might hurt some of the business up there in Latin America. I mean, they're still going to do business in Brazil, I assume, you know, because they got a huge hub up there with Global. But very, very telling, man. Very, very telling. Like, time is changing. We knew it was going to happen. $4.2 billion. They had to get that money back somehow. And a lot of heads were going to roll, you know, a lot of people leaving. I mean, there was not only Lorenzo and you know, Joe Silva. Now, all the other execs are gone. Man, this is it's interesting. What about you, Proteus? What do you think?
Yeah, we touched on this on Thursday with Dean and Showtime, and that's exactly what we all said. Of course, we didn't know about these extra layoffs that would be coming, less than a week later. But like you said, Marco, they're definitely cutting money from the payroll. You know, these executives, the ones that weren't smart enough to get out, like Dave Schaller, Joe Silva, and the Fertitta brothers, obviously, again, who got out at the right time. These guys are paid lots of money. They're paid the big bucks. They're doing the big jobs. And like you said, Marco, WMIA or whatever it is, all of the letters, they are not interested in carrying around, right? They're not interested in carrying around all this payroll, this extra payroll. And as you said, they are a very, very large company and probably have very, very large heads on them and think that they could actually do these things and carry out these relationships with other markets if they do choose to do that. And I agree with Marco. I think what we've seen today is a sign of maybe we're not interested in being global anymore. Maybe we're just interested in the North American market where, you know what, quite frankly, people are paying money to see our pay-per-views. 204, UFC 204 went off last week in London, and all of the native market in London, in UK, didn't have to pay for that. They saw it on free television. I don't know how much money that's making the UFC, but I know that probably they're making a ton more money on pay-per-view. But as I've said on this show before, pay-per-view is dead, and I think that they're investing at the wrong time, and it's the wrong strategy to invest in pay-per-view at this time. Sorry, guys.
You know what, go ahead, Marco.
No, I was going to say, when it comes to the execs, I don't feel too sorry about them, like Gary Cook and all the other guys.
Right.
Because this week,
they're
going to
find jobs.
Not only they're going to find jobs, but on their exit, they get them their contract and they get severance pay. So they're going to get a big fat paycheck before they get they leave. It's just the way it works when it comes to executives. The people that are going to be really, really be hurting as the little people, the guys in the PR department that they're getting rid of, you know, the guys that are not the big exec, they don't get the big severance payments. Those are the guys that I actually kind of suck feeling for, you know. My heart goes out to them because they are the ones that are going to have to be hunting for jobs out there on the market. I mean, hopefully most of them land on their feet, if not all of them. The big execs are going to land their big paying jobs somewhere else. I mean, what do they get on the resume? I was working for the USA, you know, like Gary Cook. He was a Manchester City, you know, executive before he was on the USA. So a guy like that is going to get paid on his way out, and he also is going to find a job that's going to pay him probably even more because of, you know, the fancy jobs that he had held, you know, all across the sports spectrum. So, like, let's keep things in perspective. Yeah, it kind of sucks that these executives are leaving, but they're not really going to be hurting. They're going to get high-paying jobs again. They're going to get paid on their way out because it's probably built on their contract, the severance pay they're going to get. It's the little guys that are getting cut off, that one that I really feel bad for. And if this contraction is true, you know, there's rumors that they're going to do just 30 shows next year. They're gonna be a lot of slashes on the roster. They're gonna a lot of fight on the roster. A lot of the projection is probably 150 to 200 fighters are gonna get their pink slips next year because you don't need that many fighters to fill out 30 shows. You know, if we're doing 45 to 50 now, I mean, you got one third of that. Yeah, it's a lot of pain that's coming along the way, bro.
Guys, we reached out to Dana White, and we wanted some sort of, if he would comment on it, and he left Proteus a message.
Don't ever buy another UFC pay-per-view again.
You know what, guys? Honestly, I think it's the other way around, guys. I'm actually, first off, my heart goes out to anyone that has lost their job because it's, you know, it's you never want anyone to lose a job. But I actually feel worse for the executives, and I'll tell you why. There are many more jobs for the people that have, for example, the people that are doing PR work in other avenues and in other things. When you're a senior level executive, there are only so many jobs, and we're talking about as being a senior level executive in a specific sport. Dave Schaller was really smart to get out and go into to his native state, first off, Pennsylvania, but the 76ers, and to get into the NBA. And, you know, like Gigi said today, it's not the first time that he's wanted to leave. But I actually, those guys, you know, the Gary Cooks, et cetera, unless Bellator or World Series of Fighting comes out and says, you know, listen, let's get your expertise, let's get them. I'll tell you, though, Proteus, Who I would really be excited, if I'm Bellator and I have the deep pockets like Viacom, I'm actually going after everyone. Mind you, and we don't know what kind of non-competes they have, Marco, but I'm telling you, Pro, I'm going after the Gary Cooks, all these, because I know the contracts. You know how the contracts are formed, and you can now counter that. So that's what I would be. If I'm Bellator, that's what I'm going after, Pro.
Yeah. These guys, most of these guys that came in, that Zuffa brought in, the Gary Cooks, the Marshall Zalaznicks, you know, they came from other sports, like Marco said, the fellow from Canada whose name is escaping me right now for some reason. I mean, he was,
right?
He was the, Tom Wright. He was the commissioner of our Canadian Football League before he took the job with the UFC. So those kind of guys, yes, they have skills that are only for a certain thing, but there's a lot of turnover, I feel, in those kinds of positions. So I'm sure they're going to be okay in the long run, Tony. So again, and like you said, there are plenty of jobs, hopefully, for other people that the lower end people. And yeah, I mean, look at what Cold Coffee did. Cold Coffee got laid off by the UFC years ago, and he managed to turn himself around and get a job with Junkie in USA Today. And I mean, you know, now he's coveted and loved by us, and we didn't know him 2 years ago. So, you know, let's hope that these things can be turned around. I mean, they've all got skills that are required nowadays. So, yes, let's hope very well for these people and for their families.
Time is changing.
Marco, this is not the first time that the UFC has had layoffs. And here's the thing. So let's get into this. While you said times are changing, times are changing, right? Chris Weidman got his deal done a day before the UFC 205 presser. Shout out to Lerone and Sam All Jam, right? All the New Yorkers. But clearly things are changing. Is GSP a free agent? His side says yes. UFC says no. What say you?
GSP is in limbo right now, and I tell you why. Because according to GSP's lawyer, James Quinn, that is a high-powered lawyer in New York, he got the grounds to declare himself free because the lawyer is looking to terminate the contract with the UFC. Now, of course, the UFC is going to protect themselves and say, no, you're not a free agent because you're still under contract. And that is where the whole thing gets interesting. Probably the truth is right in the middle, bro. And I don't really think, and this is just my personal opinion, that GSP is actually looking to get out of his contract. I actually think he's looking to leverage a better contract because he's working on the premise of a contract that he signed in 2011 when Zuffa was still in charge. Now, enter 2016. Five and a half years later, WME is in charge, and they tried to grandfather in his contract into the new era. But guess what? A lot of things changed during that period, because before, he was able to get sponsored by Under Armour, that is a major clothing company, and he make massive amounts of money by being sponsored by Under Armour. He was being sponsored by Gatorade, by other sorts of sponsors and stuff. So he was making really good money out of sponsorship. Enter Reebok and enter WME. Those advantages don't exist anymore. Now, interestingly enough, George St. Pierre is represented by CAA, that is a competing company for WME. Yeah, it's getting like a real complicated conspiracy theory. What I'm trying to explain with it is that, Chris Weidman famously was able to broker a deal with Lorenzo Fertitta right before his fight. But, interestingly enough, also, Chris Weidman is represented by WME. How come that George St. Pierre, one of the biggest stars of the MMA history, one of the best ever, doesn't have the same opportunity to broker a deal with Lorenzo when, according to his own words, he was, talking to Lorenzo, and everything was good. And as soon as WME came in, all the offers that Lorenzo had on the table for him, they were gone. I wonder why. Was it because he's represented by CAA? Because obviously, I mean, if you want to believe what George Santini is saying, he is willing to fight. And they were really close to an agreement. I mean, everything was looking really good. All of a sudden, the sale goes on, and everything is off the table. I wonder. So I think this is all leverage right now to get a better deal or a better contract or even a new contract. Because let's be fair, you know, you cannot be fighting under the presumption of the 2011 situation because the whole scenario had changed. So you have to, George Saint-Pierre is looking out for number one, and number one is himself. So it might play out in court, and at the end of the day, the UFC won't want on Discovery to those contracts to get aired out, because if that things get aired out, a lot of dirty secrets of their contracts get exposed. So they will settle with George, they will renegotiate, and that will be the end of it. I don't think this will take anything with it, anything around 6 months to a year to resolve itself, because that's the way legalities and negotiations work. But it's a really bad look for the UFC right now, getting into a beef with one of the most loved and recognizable figures in UFC history, man. I mean, it's George St. Pierre, for crying out loud.
Yeah. So one of the couple of things that, you know, that Marco had already mentioned that kind of stuck out in my head is, one, why is Chris Weidman talking to Lorenzo Fujita? You know what I mean? Like, why is Lorenzo, who has like 1% stake in the company, negotiating anybody's contract? First of all. Second of all, the UFC is, and the new ownership is now stating, according to George St. Pierre, that they need to reintroduce him to the market. Are you fucking kidding me? The reason,
amen.
It's like you don't like money. If you would have put GSP on the top of that card at 206, if you would have put GSP on that card, it would already be sold out. But guess what, guys? It's not sold out. It's not going to get sold out, because no one gives a crap about Daniel Cormier versus Anthony Johnson. I mean, it's a great fight, but no one cares. No one cares. And you're going to fill it up with menial fights that we don't really care about. I mean, I saw some people on Twitter last night. They were talking to James Lynch about the prices and how the prices had come down, and that they were happy with the price that they got for their tickets. But guess what, guys? That's just to be seen at the event. You know what I mean? That's not because you, I mean, yes, they were MMA fans, but I mean, you want to be seen at the event because, you know, you live in Toronto and you have money and blah, blah, blah. But what,
yeah.
another thing that, like you said, Marco, that I found interesting. Well, Marco said he wanted my Canadian aspect on this, so I'm giving it.
No, we want it.
Another thing that I found interesting is, yes, Marco, he is a client of their nearest competitor. And when this deal was announced, that was the first thing that everybody said, okay, what's going to happen if you're not a WMG guy or whatever it is? We have to find an appropriate name for that, the letters. If you're not part of the letters, then you may have a different deal. You know what I mean? You may have a harder time negotiating anything. And I think that, like you said, Marco, I think that's playing into this. I really, really do. And I don't understand. Why would you not want GSP? Why would you not? You have, unless you're giving up, like we said earlier, unless you're giving up on selling to anyone but the U.S., why would you not want GSP? If you're going to give it to Bellator, go ahead, Marco. Yeah, I'm just rambling.
Let me interject for a second, because you put through something that really interests me. I understand that Canada actually buy pay-per-views. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's a North American market.
Okay, so why in the hell they want to alienate the whole Canadian market. I don't understand that. I mean, first they get rid of Rory McDonald.
Makes no sense.
Now they're getting rid of the biggest MMA star in Canadian history. And I know you guys know who GSP is. And he's good. In a bad day, GSP is good on the Canadian market alone for 300,000 buys in Canada alone. So do they hate money? Do they?
That's what I'm saying.
It's like, how is this being received in Canada? I mean, is this on the like mainstream media in Canada? Are you guys talking about it? Because in the United States, we're kind of sort of in the bubble here. You know, it's been talked about it on the ESPNs.com and the junkies and the MMA fighting. But I don't see it on the mainstream media. I don't see it on the ESPNs. I don't see it on the Fox Sports. I was wondering, how is this playing out in Canada? Because ESP, I figure, is a big, it's a very recognizable star in Canada. So how is that playing out?
Well, the only thing, and I excuse myself from the mainstream because I'm not the mainstream. I don't have TSN or Sportsnet on my TV. But what I do expose myself to is terrestrial radio. And the only thing that I've ever heard on the terrestrial radio about 206 is that we're going to see a repeat of a legendary fight. And I don't remember the first Daniel Cormier, Anthony Johnson fight being legendary at all. So I think it's very pitiful. I said this on Twitter. I think it's pitiful what they're doing. And what we're clearly seeing, guys, a completely different shift in how business has been run, Zuffa and then post-Zuffa. You know what I mean? It's completely different. And I don't know what their plans are. I'm not, a professional. I'm not in the know. But it seems like it's completely different from what Zuffa had in mind. And that's kind of scary.
Yeah. We're privy to a lot of changes, man. Like I said, we got to let this thing play out, especially with GSP. My gut feeling is it's actually a play for GSP to position yourself for a better contract or a new contract. But even if it's slightly going to like the courts and stuff, it's just a real bad look, man. And I don't know what these guys on WME are doing. They take two steps forwards and three steps back, and ever since they purchased this thing, and then we got the Reebok deal that everybody hates. They need to take a second look since there is a new ownership there to the Reebok deal, because I've seen the heart of most of the issues started with the Reebok deal, and exposed a lot of the failings of the new thinking on the UFC, man. Hopefully they'll get it figured out. I mean, they just bought the company; they got deep pockets. So, like I said, let's get it played out, and we'll see what happens.
Guys, here's the thing, though. If you're a fighter, right? Hold on, the music's on, guys. If you're a fighter and you're represented by someone other than WME IMG, and by the way, Proteus is right, we need some sort of acronym that's shorter. WME? If you're represented by WME IMG, if you're not, rather, won't you want to be represented by them? Because then you can work out your deals, your secret deals with the Fertittas and everything else. I mean, heck, Ronda comes out, and Ronda, rightly so, deserves that title shot. But boy, if you're represented by someone else, aren't you saying, you know what, I want to be represented by WME IMG?
That is where you get a little bit complicated, because you know, when it comes to like boxing, the Ali app prohibits managements to be also promoters, and now,
but that's what they are.
That is what they're going to fight the extension of the Aliyah into MMA with, like, nails and teeth and everything. But if it gets to that point, man, it can completely break their business model, because an agent cannot be a promoter. But in this case, WME, that is a talent agency, is also the promoter. It's created a lot of conflict of interest, especially if we're speculating here, especially if they're beefing with CAA, who represents George St. Pierre, and they're having a proxy war with George St. Pierre because of CAA. You know, they're using George St. Pierre as a proxy war just to make a point against CAA. I'm just speculating, but that's what it feels like to me, because I find it really interesting that, you know, like I said, Chris Weidman was able to barter a contract with Lorenzo Fertitta, and that was not an issue, not a problem. Hey, come to my state, we'll find out a new contract, and we're good to go. Oh, by the way, you're represented by WME, and you are one of our Reebok guys. Awesome. George St. Pierre, he's represented by Under Armour. He got an Under Armour promotion, and he's represented by CAA, so he doesn't have those same benefits. Yeah, I'm scratching my head right now about the whole thing, man. But let's move to another topic, man.
No.
Oh, sorry.
You know, Proteus wants to get in on this. Yeah.
Oh, no, go ahead, Proteus. My bad, bro. I'm sorry. I bow to you. Go ahead, man.
No, don't bow. It's all good. Sorry,
I only hit it once. It went twice. Go ahead, bro.
Okay, so what was interesting to me about GSP's venture onto the Fortnite, the MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani, was that GSP was talking about his thoughts or him being about fighters and fighters' rights. And I've said it on this show before, and that I 100% believe that GSP would be the leader of said kind of march towards a union. He was also calling out for all of the other big stars, you know, Anderson Silva and the Jose Aldos and the Conor McGregors, to get on this train. And Anderson Silva and Jose Aldo have already come out against the UFC. And as I said about the UFC 205 presser, I think Conor is on that train as well. I think he's down for everybody to get more rights. And as they said on that show on the Fortnite, you know, times are a-changing. And like we're saying on this show, times are a-changing. And we're seeing a very steep, what's the name of that graph that they have for when things go up? Anyways, we're seeing a very steep incline of, you know, as the UFC is changing things, the fighters are fighting back against things being changed. And hey, man, if my predictions come true, I'm gonna love that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying, guys? You know how I like being right.
Hey, talking about that interview, you know what was very telling, and I love the fact that GSP made it a point. Don't ever let Dana White tell you what fighters want to fight and or they don't have it anymore, because Dana White is a promoter. He's not a freaking fighter. So if you're telling me, oh, he doesn't have it anymore, who the fuck are you, Dana, to tell me that George St. Pierre, one of the best fighters ever, doesn't have it anymore, that doesn't he want to fight? Did you become freaking Dr. X and you can read minds and stuff? Dana, come on, dude. We know what you're doing. I mean, even your
you're
life.
Great manager, but dummy.
even your lies are transparent now. We can see right through you what you're trying to do, but okay. I know
what did Dana White say about GSP? Pro, what did he say about GSP?
He doesn't want to fight. He doesn't have the.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Apparently, nobody knows who GSP is. But here's the interesting thing, though, Marco and Pro. And we kind of touched on it, but not really. Because here's the thing. Before we move on, here's the thing. Marco and I are not Canadians. We've never lived in Canada, as far as I know. I know he's lived in every country but Canada. But, Pro, you're a Canadian born and raised.
I visit Canada.
See, I haven't even done
that. He gets a certificate.
Yeah, see, I haven't even done that. I know the last time I was there, I think I was there, Marco, at the same time, I could be wrong, Pro, that Chris Weidman's that Ray Longo and Fertitta were talking about the deal, you know, the Weidman deal.
You talk to the guy.
What guy?
Yep. The guy with the thing.
But here's the thing, Pro. What does this mean? Does it really affect, and I want an unbiased sort of, does it really mean that much that potentially GSP and, heck, just name every Canadian that's a star, right? Rory McDonald.
Yeah.
And does it make that big of a difference that there aren't any top tier Canadians that are fighting for the UFC, or do you guys really care?
Yes. Simple answer. Yes, it does matter. And it, know what else matters is that you're disrespecting the greatest MMA welterweight champion of the world who just happens to be from our country. So yeah, you best believe we're insulted, and you best believe, like I was saying, I've said on all of our shows, I guaranteed that this card is not good enough. This card is not even close to being good enough. And you, I'm sorry. Let me just back up a bit, because GSP tried to tell us that, you know, this thing is still fluid. This thing still can happen, even though the UFC has taken down the graphic that said that there was going to be something above the title fight.
Oh yeah, that TBD. Right.
They've taken that down, but it doesn't mean that it can't still happen. And you know what? Just like they needed to get Connor on 205, they need 100% to get GSP on this card. And yes, you open the floodgates, you open that wallet, and you pay whatever it is that you need to pay. You know what is even worse? What even is even more promotional malpractice, if I may, to steal that from another show?
Luke Thomas.
You didn't get this done before tickets went on sale, because you know what? That show would have sold out in 0.5 of a second if GSP was on it. Absolutely, positively.
How many people does arena host? Like about 20,000?
Yeah, it's a hockey arena. It's an NHL hockey arena. So yes, it holds about 20,000.
Okay. With GSP, we know, sellout, 20,000.
Correct.
Crowd projection without GSP, how many tickets they sell?
I don't see it. I don't really see it going over 10, to be honest
with what they're showing us now,
that the card is, and with Daniel Cormier. I mean, how many pay-per-views does Daniel Cormier sell? He doesn't sell any pay-per-views.
Unless he's with John Jones.
Right.
Unless he's with John Jones,
But we didn't. That's not a thing. That's John Jones selling pay-per-views, not Daniel Cormier.
I agree.
I completely agree, brother. Marco, I don't see this doing well. Okay.
The over/under for me is I'll think they do anything within 10,000 and 10,500, but I don't see it going over that without GSP. Because how many they did with Demetrius Johnson was up there? About 10,000.
Oh, that's
and
a different weight out. Class, though, guys.
Yeah, but that was in Montreal.
That was a car that John Jones was supposed to headline, and then that flight fell apart.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. It's like 10,500, 10,000.
What?
I'm trying to see who's going to be the closest. How many do you think, Tony?
Oh boy, the attendance or total sell pay per view sell.
Ooh. No, the attendance without GSP. The attendance without
three
GSP.
Quarters.
I don't care about the pay per view.
Three quarters, because there are still people that will want to go to a UFC event. I'm going to UFC on Fox 22 in Sacramento, and I don't care about any of those fights, and I'm going because I've never been to a UFC fight.
Right.
Okay.
You want to be seen.
Yeah. The seller for a pay-per-view with George St. Pierre was about 700,000. That is like the bottom. Like the least he would get is 700, and then 900,000 was his average, and then, you know, he got a couple of over a million. Without GSP, that scene doesn't sell more than 250,000, dude. I'm telling you right now.
Oh yeah, it's not going to sell anything. I really don't understand it. I really, really don't. And I think that the posturing is good to see that there's posturing between the two and that there's, you know, hardcore negotiating. And like I said, GSP can afford to do this. That's why I had said that, you know, we need GSP to get on board because he can do it. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that they even said that they need to reintroduce him to the market is like the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Whoever came up with that needs to get a car antenna right to the knees.
Yeah, you know what you have to do with
manager,
that, dude?
But dummy.
Yeah, you know what you do? The dude that say that, you need to point the finger at him, tilt your head backwards, and laugh hysterically like, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, that's stupid.
That's can we go into this, though, guys? Never mind the whole GSP thing for a second. Just for a second. The UFC 206 card itself, never mind GSP for now. It's like Proteus was saying, Marco, this is really bad because you have the light heavy, right? Cormier versus Johnson. I want to see that fight. That's a legit fight. But everything else, guys, Moraga, McDessey, I mean, Lando Venata's the third one up from the top of the main card. I mean, gosh, Cub Swanson, Valerie Letourneau. Hey, listen, I love Valerie Letourneau, but I mean, this is not a good card, guys. Aside from the whole GSP, they're gonna have to make some changes, right, guys? Because it's UFC Fight Night before it, and then so two freebies right in between, Marco. They got to do some changes because this card is not going to sell at all. Never mind GSP.
Yeah, like, and it's sandwiched between UFC 205 in New York, that is a mega, mega card, and UFC 207, the return of Ronda freaking Rousey. So, yeah, without GSP, UFC 206 become an afterthought, something that only the hardcores of the hardcores, the ones that cannot miss a pay-per-view, like me, are going to watch. And everybody else won't give a fuck about it, you know? The regular fans are going to be like, it was a UFC card this weekend? I didn't know. Exactly, because nobody will care. If USP was there, you can guarantee 500,000 pay-per-views alone on Canada alone, dude. And Canada alone will buy 500,000 pay-per-views. But that shouldn't serve the food on this one, and I don't understand why, man. But let it play out, like I said. Let it play out. Yeah, but 206 right now is hot garbage.
Ain't nobody got time for that. As much as I love me some John McDuffie and some Jordan Ian.
Are you serious or are you joking?
No, I do. I love them both. And as much as I love Cub Swanson, you know what I mean? I don't understand. And I think we've brought it up on this show, maybe not this show, but maybe one of the shows on the network. And let's say thank you to Amp Radio for supplying all this content for us. Thanks, Amp Radio. You know, without GSP, without something big, I mean, even with Daniel Cormier, like I was just saying earlier on in the show, this is not good enough. I think I used explicitives last time when we talked last Wednesday about this fight, that it's just not good enough, MFs. It's just not good. You're not you're not going to sell nothing, dudes. This is just
even
gonna be a huge loss.
Even Daniel Cormier admits to that. I mean, he was in
right?
interview. I don't remember. Yeah, he
did
admitted
he?
That basically
he
needs, begging. He
yes,
was basically
he
begging
did,
for GSP to be on the card.
Because he knows that he's not selling. He admitted. I know he's not the draw. He admitted it on public. I don't remember what show was it, but he said live.
I think
on,
it was Anakin Florian.
There you go, Anakin Florian. And he admitted that he was begging for GSP because he has pay-per-view points. And he understands the game.
He
understands that without GSP, like the heavy hitter that attracts the drugs on the pay-per-views, Daniel Cormier ain't getting paid, dude. And he knows it.
That's right.
And that, And Daniel Cormier is running out of time because he's not getting any younger. I mean, he's 38 years old. You know?
Ouch.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm the best.
Oh, my gosh. 38 years old. Marco, Proteus, start digging our grave for Marco and I. We're going down into it. Good Lord. 38 is already old. Hold on.
Looking in a mirror, only not.
Yeah. I look at Dan Henderson. I mean, I look at Dan Henderson and I say, what did I do wrong, dude?
Yeah.
Excuse me, bitch.
Oh my gosh. All right, guys, let's move on to this. So before we go any further, let's talk about this though, guys. Jose Aldo says he met with the UFC. It was okay, but he still doesn't see himself fighting, period. Not just for the UFC. Now, I agree that that itself is a ploy for renegotiation or whatever. I don't think Jose Aldo really wants out of his contract. By the way, it drives me crazy when people say, Jose, don't we already know it's Jose by now, guys? Really? It's still Jose?
Excuse me, bitch.
What's going on with that? But do you guys, there's no way in hell, right? There's no way in hell that GSP gets out of this contract, right? Because that's going to open up a whole can of worms. There's no way, right, Marco? This will never happen.
Well, like I said, Jose is in the same boat that GSP is, man. But at a different level, he's been discontent for a long time, but he doesn't get as much labor as a GSP does. Because Jose Aldo, as great a fighter as he is, as talented as you know, as one of the greatest, you know, featherweights ever, and lower weight class fighters in the history of the freaking game, he has never been a draw. The guy struggles to freaking bring people into the pay-per-view business, you know. The only big fight that he actually freaking brought people to see him and he got paid was when he fought Conor McGregor, because Conor McGregor did all the publicity. So, yeah, even though Jose Aldo is quote-unquote a name, he doesn't get the same labor as, you know, Mr. George St. Pierre's got. Jose Aldo ain't going anywhere. He's not going to go play football on a B-League in Brazil because he's not going to the premier teams. You know, as much of a good soccer player you think you are, if you were that great, Jose, you'll be playing soccer right now instead of fighting MMA.
Ouch.
So, yeah, you're not going to play soccer.
You play to
you're
win the game. Hello?
Oh, my gosh. That was brutal,
yeah,
Marco. Good Lord.
But it is the truth. It is the truth. Like, what do premier athletes in the United States do? They go into the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, because they have the top of the talent. That's why we don't see them on MMA, you know, except for maybe Greg Hardy. You know, he doesn't have a choice anymore. But that is the bottom line. If Jose Aldo was that great at soccer, he'll be playing in freaking Corinthians right now. He'll be playing on one of the premier leagues in Brazil. He's not. He cannot fool himself. So,
oh my gosh! Well,
yeah,
apparently Patricio Pitbull isn't impressed either. Proteus, let's go into this though, guys. A lot of new fights going on, so let's talk about Marco, someone that is a needle mover. Proteus, your boy Chael Sonnen versus Tito in Bellator news. Tito's last fight ever is set for Bellator 170, allegedly his last fight ever. What say you, Pro?
I'm already asleep. What was that?
Somebody's watching.
Bad guy and the Huntington Beach bad boy.
I know what that's going to look like already. We've heard all of the promotion. We've seen everything that we're going to see. Tito is going to try and dig a grave and bury him. And we've seen it, man. He's going to come out in the fire tube. Why do I need to see this bullshit? Give me Vanderlei versus the bad boy, and that's what I want.
You know, I want to see that fight, Marco. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I want to see that fight.
Man, Tito Ortiz should retire and stay retired, man. But what are you going to do, man? And people still want to see him, oddly enough. You know, I mean, whether we like it or not, the ratings speak. And when his fought is Stephen Bonner, as much of a hot garbage fight that the Stephen Bonner fight was, people wanted to see him. But yeah, the fight is going to come and go. I'm going to watch it because of the curiosity factor. I think Chael Sonnen is going to steamroll Tito, and then Tito's going to come out with a million excuses on my neck, my back, my pussy hurt, and you know, it's going to be the same story over again.
Hey guys, can I tell you this though? When we were last at that Bellator event in San Jose, with by the way the Goes, there's no way we could get to Goes by the way, but while we were there, guys, everyone, and I mean this, everyone was wearing a Tito Ortiz T-shirt, and they weren't giving out for free. I can tell you that. No, they weren't. I was
California.
There, Proteus. No, they weren't.
It's California,
no, they were not.
Dude.
They were not.
No,
I'm telling you.
Of course they were. Of course they were all wearing it. It's California.
All I'm saying is they were selling Leah McGarry T-shirts, and when I was there at the counter, they said,
"Who the fuck is that guy?"
So,
exactly.
I mean, believe me, there's a reason people like Tito. Hey, listen, I'll be the first one to tell you, there's a lot of people that want to see certain fighters that no one gives a flying rat's ass about. But tell me that Chael Sonnen versus Tito on free TV isn't going to get people. Marco, I wouldn't be surprised if this gets 2 million views.
He probably will, and I'm not dumping on the fight. The fight itself is marketable. You know, it's 32 recognizable names, Chael Sonnen and Tito Ortiz. It's just the fight itself is going to be hot garbage because Tito hasn't given an exciting fight in ages, and Chael Sonnen, we already know what Chael Sonnen is going to do. He's going to go for the double leg. He's going to get him down, and he's going to grind him for three rounds until the bell rings, and he's going to win a unanimous decision. Nobody's going to get knocked out. The hardest thing Chael Sonnen ever did was guillotine choke Chogan, and that was a fluke because he has never guillotine choked anybody. So it's going to be a grinder. It's going to be ground and pound, lay and pray, and everybody's going to be complaining about the fight after the fact, but we're still going to turn in and watch because that's what we do, bro. That's what we're hardcore.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Go ahead, bro.
Sorry. I'm not going to actually watch it, but I'll catch the replays on Bellator.com afterwards with their boy Sean Grande and Jimmy Smith giving us the lowdown. I'm not watching this garbage, man. I'm going to vote with my dollars, and my dollars say no thanks. I don't care.
Well, at least you don't have to pay for it, right? I mean, this.
So I have to sit in my house and waste some time? Like Marco said, this is not going to be a good fight. All the casuals, all the donks are going to come out that need some car antennas on their knees, and they're going to watch it, and we're going to get 2 million views. Of course we are. Of course we are. Because these people who are on the outsides of the bubble, they know these names. You know, Chael Sonnen's got his own podcast, and Tito Ortiz,
it's a good podcast.
That fire, no, it's not. And is that Tito Ortiz, where's that fire toque in California? Hey, excuse me, just on a side note, I saw you cruising down the street the other day there, DJ Tony, and your new whip. Why are people wearing toques in California?
Why are people wearing what?
Toques. You know
what's
what a
that?
Toque is, no?
No.
What the fuck is
that?
See, Marco doesn't know what that is.
You know what?
What is it?
He's wearing on his head? You know that the thing that he wears on his head, that hat that covers his whole head and keeps his ears warm?
Oh, okay. Not
beanies?
Yeah,
we call that a toque.
Oh, you do, eh?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's one of those things
becomes
that's
even more relevant. Why are people wearing full head things in hot temperatures? Y'all are stupid.
Yeah.
Hey, those are the hipsters. You can't go off of that.
Come to Texas.
You guys
know
how much that went over both of your heads? It would just soared over both of your heads. The guy from Texas and the guy from California.
You're a great manager, but dummy.
I'm not going to argue about that, man. I think I will.
Hey, I have an excuse. I have an excuse. I've had major concussion issues. All right?
Knock the fuck out, man.
All right, so let's get that right.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
All right, guys. Let's go into this though. Anything that you guys find interesting? So I was listening to the Luke Thomas. I don't know what the heck that is, the podcast or whatever it is. That what'd you call it? Proteus, the malpractice.
Promotional malpractice.
There you go.
Promotional malpractice.
Hang on.
Shut you down.
All right. I was listening to that. So obviously you have Bisping chirping on one end, guys, and about the future of the division, etc. But I got to be honest with you guys, looking at that middleweight division, guys, that's a pretty darn good division, and you have a lot. You know what I wish we would have? I'll tell you this right now, Pro. I wish we would have more of this where Weidman fighting Yoel Romero. By the way, why do people call him Yoel? Is it like y'all?
I don't know. Yeah. I guess Yoel. They don't know how to do it right.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
It's a QL thing.
Is it? All right. But Rockhold fighting Jacare. Yoel Romero fighting Weidman. Is this not what we want to see, guys? You know what drop we need, Pro? We need Are You Not Entertained? That's what we need. Is this not what we want to see, guys?
Yeah, no. This is what we want to see. This is what we want to see, but we don't make the UFC more money. We make the UFC a base amount of money. The people who want to see the stuff like that you just mentioned, we make the UFC constant money. We are responsible for the constant money. We are not responsible for the money that goes over the constant money. The people who don't care to watch the sport, unless Conor McGregor is fighting or your girl is fighting Honda Housie or whomever is the flavor of the week this week, right? So we want to see it, Tony. We do. These are the things that we want to see, but they're not interested in what we want to see. They already have our money, like Marco said. Anyways, Marco, you go.
Man, you're preaching today, man. I agree with 95% of what you say today, and that is a stretch for me. But
I'm surprised we even agree about anything today, Marco. I mean, every other week we've not agreed about anything.
Don't ever buy another UFC.
Weird. It's like Twilight Zone stuff.
I know. Hey, but you know what my dark horse in the middleweight division right now is? Gegard Mousasi. Watch out for that dude.
Really?
Man. He's in a run right now. Gegard? Yeah, dude. And I like the new Gegard Mousasi. I like the new Gegard Mousasi.
I don't think he beats Rockhold.
Why not?
I think he
Michael Bisping beat him. Why not?
Well, Michael Bisping socked him right in the... It's true.
Oh,
but
you were on that. Wow.
See, I'm telling you. Telling you.
I tell you, Gegard Mousasi, to all the top five guys, you know, the Romeros, the Jacarez, the Weimans, even Bisping, all of them, he gave them a fight. And he can win the fight. And also, Gegard Mousasi, short dude, that guy is an outstanding fighter. So he's a dark horse. No, maybe by the end of next year, you can see Gegard Mousasi getting a title shot. He just had to get the right opponent to set himself as the next number one contender. But watch for Gegard.
Yeah, but talk about someone that's not going to be able to sell pay-per-views, though, guys.
Oh,
I mean, that's
wow.
Gegard, really?
Pay-per-view is dead. Again, pay-per-view is dead. I don't understand why we keep going back to this, especially once the union comes in. The pay-per-view is dead. You can't do pay-per-view with an association being there. You're going to have to put this stuff on for free, just like the NFL is, just like the NHL is. And everybody's making a giant amount of money, guys.
Yeah. I agree with Produce on this.
The Fox cards.
The next step for the UFC, especially with WME, he's selling packages of content. You know, like the NFL got games on ESPN and NBC and CBS and Fox. I think that is the next step for these guys to start making money, because the Fox contract is done in the next 2 years. And they get like $100 million a year right now. They're aiming for $500 million a year on the next contract. And that is the next step. Now is it get in a bidding war with ESPN? They might drive the price up.
Yeah.
And that is the next big step. They're still gonna do the pay-per-view structure, because it is a form of revenue, but I think slowly but surely they're gonna start backing away from it, and like you said, producers are gonna try to go into the like content, like TV for markets like ESPN and Fox, and sell packages, you know, like the big events for, you know, like a Monday Night Football kind of crap, you know, for Fox or the, you know, the finals for ESPN and stuff like that, and that's where they're gonna make their revenue. But you know,
Tony,
an advertisement, lots of advertisement.
Tony, I hear that you're playing the music. I know you guys got to get a debate in, so let's wrap this up.
All right, you got it. Well, let's talk about one thing though, guys. Do you guys care about anything aside from the tough finale in Latin America? Aren't you all looking just forward to the UFC 205? I really want to see the Dos Anjos versus Ferguson, but boy, I can't wait to UFC 205, guys. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, we can. Like, what about this? We can talk about that next week. Dun, dun, dun.
Deal.
Yes. Because you know what? There ain't shit going on next week either.
Well, you never
know. What?
Know,
hey,
motherfucker!
Gosh, talk about
it.
Not giving
it.
Us a
it.
Chance at all. All right, you know what, guys? I have a new closing song. By the way, did you guys ever watch any of the movies? Are you guys Quentin Tarantino fans at all?
No.
I am.
Nothing? Crickets? I need the oh, good Lord. We're not getting Jack
That's
today,
exactly what
boys.
I did to your mother, buddy.
Thank you, Proteus. All right, guys, let's go ahead and close. You know what? I don't have a song to close. What do you guys want to use as a closing song? Marco, what do you want to use as a closing song?
Don't give a shit. I really don't give a shit.
Fight the power. Fight the power.
You know what? That's your closing song. We can't use that one.
Hey, motherfucker.
With the same song you used to open up, man.
He's gone.
You know what we're going to use? We're going to use one because we don't fear the Reaper, guys.
We don't.
Go ahead, bro.
We don't? All right, let's do it. All right, guys. That was the Marco and C to the Triple B minus the C to the Triple B hour. Hold on. Let's. You did call him, though, right?
What guy?
The guy with the thing.
You didn't call him?
Fellas.
All right. Well, let's close shop. Boy, we're dying here, guys. We're dying here. Marco,
don't ever buy another UFC
Dana just called. All right. Let's go, guys. This is the Marco and C to the Triple B hour. We'll see you next week. It's still not Smack My Picks up next week, right? We still have another week off, guys.
Yeah.
From the man down south, Marco, you're closed. Twitter follow the week? Anything?
No, but I'm going to say I resented the Marco and C to the Triple B hour. And I call this hour the Marco Prodius hour. We're gonna leave you guys. Catch you guys next week.
Atta boy. And my
and the man up north. We didn't get anything from
my Twitter follow. My Twitter follow of the week is gonna be at RodneyJames138. Guys, follow him. He's an MMA junkie. He's
a local fighter. He's on the regional circuit trying to get fights, and he's an MMA journalist. So let's follow him and give him some love, guys, so he can move up in the world. That's it for me.
And you know what, Proteus? You got me to watch one of your Twitter followers of the week. I was actually watching them all yesterday. What's that? Something my, something mods. What was that Twitter?
Mighty Car Mods. Yeah, at Mighty Car Mods. They're awesome, man. Yeah.
They're Australian, right?
They are correct. Yes, they're from the east coast of Australia.
How about that? All right, guys. And like that, are we gone, guys?
We're gone. Marco's already gone.
Is he? Good Lord. How about that?
Yeah.
And like that, he's gone.
We're still here. Hold on. Hold on. We didn't shut down. Hang on. All right. Hold on. You know what? Let's get out of here. We're out of here, bro.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Goodbye.
Who the fuck is that guy?